One winter glance on the mountains, one winter glance on the sea, one winter glance made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands feels the stick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB 3.185, or we're now on 50-50. I keep forgetting that. 50-50, and also, we are also being simulcast on 2.390. We hope that you'll spread the word as much as you can around the network and let the folks know that we are on 2.390. And we're thankful to be on there, praise Yahweh. A lot of people are receiving us on 2.390 where 50 can't come in. So maybe you should try the 2.390 and see if it works better for you, praise Yahweh. Of course, you that are listening by computer, you don't have that problem. And we thank Yahweh for you. We're going into part 20 tonight of 20 and 12. We ended last night's service in regard to the deception of who is the birthright son to be represented in the throne. We're going to look at some scriptures tonight where we left off last night. If you really look at the things that are like they are, Satan is so crafty. It amazes me how crafty he is. But before you can understand the truth of the Bible prophecies, which take up 2/3 of the Bible, or anything similarly complex and hidden, remember, it's a spiritual book, and you have to be totally spiritual and totally spiritually objective with the spiritual analysis about the facts and not be distracted by irrelevant clap trap from organized religion that you grow up in and accept it as truth until you become a truth seeker. See, you've got to love the truth. You've got to come out of her, my people. You cannot any longer accept organized religions. It's like reading a blueprint. Or it's like tracing electrical circuit diagrams. You've got to have some learning ability. You've got to search the scriptures daily. You've got to love this and not love the world. You've got to choose this day who you're going to serve. I can tell real fast where a person's mind is when I talk to them. They'll talk about their treasures. Well, if you don't mention the Bible in an hour's conversation or something related to it, probably your heart don't have any treasure in the spiritual realm. If you're always, you know, like, talking about the world and things of the world, that's probably where your heart's at. Because that's what your mouth's going to talk about. And 90% of the time, I have, over the years, found out that the satanic influence to the mind, of the carnal mind, it gives you something that seems right to the carnal mind. Who you're praying to, what name you're calling on, that, number one, the Jews are God's chosen people. Now, that's not true. It really isn't. So, what we got to look at tonight is some of the symbolic things that are recorded in the Bible. Like, well, when Joseph had his dream, it really went against him to tell it. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be hated for what is revealed to you. Now, we're going to talk about, we're going to concentrate on the 24th verse of the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, where we read last night. Let me repeat it, set the agenda here, and lay your gestalt for his bow. Now, if you go to Revelations, you'll find in the 6th chapter that there was someone sitting on a white horse, and he had a bow carrying it, and he went forth to conquer. This is the house of Israel, Joseph. It abode in his strength, and his arms and hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And out of this bloodline, Genesis 49:24 now, follow me close. Out of this bloodline will come the shepherd. Now I'm going to repeat that. Not out of the bloodline of Jew, but out of the bloodline of Joseph. The shepherd shall come forth out of the loins of Joseph's blood, because Joseph was the firstborn. You ever read that in the Bible? Joseph was the firstborn, picked and chosen, although he was the 11th son. The distinctive honor went to Jacob to choose the son that would be the firstborn to give to Yahweh. And this son happened to be Joseph, who was a perfect type of the Messiah, no fault, perfect. It's amazing how that Joseph showed the strength of the Messiah. It was something that was gifted as a natural. It just came natural. And here it is, in the book of Daniel, we're going to see what Joseph would come up against. You know, when people get discouraged and despondent, And they have no faith because this Babylonian kingdom has endured so long, and Satan is using this Gentile kingdom, if you will. This is not related to spiritual endowment. The covenant is like it's been hid, like the stone of stone that was basically out of sight, passed around into the wrong hands, misused and abused, until finally, here a few years ago, it went home to the place where it actually belonged. Now, the launching pad for the house of Israel, and I told you about them being dispersed and removed from the sandbox. You see, there wasn't enough room for Israel, who was going to multiply like the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven. And Joseph commanded, according to his dream, he commanded all of the sons of Jacob. They had to obey him, even Jacob. Now, we know that that came to pass when Joseph became the first king of command of this Gentile generation kingdom. This was a model. And in the book of Daniel, the stone was cut out of the mountain, and it smote the statue, which was seen by the king of Babylon in his dream. It knocks down that kingdom, it grinds it to powder, and then it blows it away in the wind. That same stone then grows into a huge mountain and fills the whole earth. Daniel 2:31. Listen as I read. Thou, O king, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, sawest, and behold, there was a great image that was set before you. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs was brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. Thou sawest this kingdom ruled till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces. Revelation 6:13 and 17, that I just referred to, refers to the man on the white horse with a bow. That was Joseph representing the house of Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lull, or a, if you will, a time when Joseph, Israel, goes to sleep. Blindness in part. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 11, and verse 25 and 26. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now, this is to delay the inevitable. What's the inevitable, Pastor Buddy? That this stone kingdom, ruled by Joseph, the firstborn, not Judah, the firstborn. Judah is a substitute imitation. He has stolen the birthright and the honor that was to go to Joseph is now going to those who claim to be Jews and are not, but are liars, according to the book of Revelation. We're going to have to wake up. I am now, officially, as one of the sons of Joseph, out of the house of Joseph, calling for the wind that will carry them away. This Babylonian kingdom, which has ruled successively in the empires down through history, that may be now carried away where no place can be found for them, and the stone will smite the image and become a great mountain, filled the whole earth with a new kingdom. Oh my! The stone is a diamond. There's no other stone which is indestructible. The diamond can grind metal to powder, especially gold, silver, brass, or it can reflect and give out light and intensity like the establishment of the Messiah coming as the light of the world to bring darkness removed from those that sit in the chapel of Egypt in darkness, believing that the Jews are God's chosen people, when in reality the Messiah is to come. Listen to me now, real well. I'm really feeling the mighty power tonight. I think there's something prophetic in this message. There has to come a time, and we're at the point of crossing in 20 and 12, the accepted time when, spiritually speaking, the veil is going to be lifted off the head of Joseph, Israel, not Judah. Judah has actually stolen through the false seed that I spoke of last night. When the sons of Judah, Er, Onan, and Shelah, the three sons who were to be counted as the sons of Judah, although they now are not mentioned because they are to be hidden. They're to be hidden from the people that sit in the church. Nobody that I know of, and I've sat in the Christian church probably as about as long as anybody, with my Bible opened, with a pencil, taking notes. Every scripture that the pastor or the teachers would bring, I would note it. I would relate it to the subject. I searched the scriptures daily. And finally, in my quest, I had driven hundreds of miles. I've sat in many dead services, poured out of my skull, thinking, what in the world am I doing here? I should be out playing golf. I should be out playing baseball. I should be fishing, hunting, or doing something worthy. Here I am. But something deep within me would not release me. I was being trained. I was given a spiritual intellect. I fasted. The more I fasted and the more I prayed, the more I became aware that this diamond stone was grinding the beauty of the gold and the silver and the brass I just couldn't understand the iron and the clay. Oh, that was a great mystery. But surely, the stone that the builders rejected was slowly giving me an insight to declare a doctrine that I would become hated for and despised and cast out because it was correct, because Ephraim is the firstborn. And I saw that back in Genesis 38, Judah, the Jew, lost his birthright. He lost the privilege to supply a son to Yahweh to become the firstborn, to be chosen. Judah, the Jew, was overlooked. He was rejected because he had a son of his firstborn strength, Er, who was evil, who Yahweh killed. He didn't murder him, he just killed him. It's illegal to murder. But he killed him. It's righteous to kill the enemy. He killed Er. He killed Onan. The third son, Shelah, was hidden by Judah, afraid to give up his only son. That's the only one he had left. This was the one that would be worthy of his birthright. It's the first son of his strength after the first two died. Now we've got Shelah to carry the banner of Judah the Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, we have believed the lie. We have stumbled at the stumbling stone, which is Yahweh, Jacob, give the birthright to Joseph. Joseph handed the birthright through his bloodline to Ephraim. Ephraim became Yahweh's chosen firstborn son. Now, nobody ever mentions in this four-part image that is ruling the world simply because Judah has ruled in proxy, if you will, by error, by deceit, because Satan is so deceptive, deceiving the very elect if he could possibly do that. Now, you have to be up on your toes tonight to grasp the truth of what I'm saying. Ephraim became Jacob Israel's birthright, the flag bearer. And from this, it is recorded that the stone shepherd who would grow into a mighty stone. Now notice this. This stone was rejected of those who collectively wrote the Bible. The Bible, although it gives the correct version, you have to be spiritually minded to receive it. I could preach all day on it and all night, and a half wouldn't be told. Out of scriptures that people have never connected because of the blindness, Yahweh's sons and daughters of the house of Joseph Ephraim have been blinded purposely. Now, with the stone being a diamond, it's going to grind to powder. It's going to destruct and destroy. It's going to bring down the kingdom, this four-headed beast kingdom of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, which I believe. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. That the day is coming when the true doctrine, when the true son of the house of Israel will take the preeminence when they will crown Jacob Israel, the true firstborn. Joseph, when he reveals himself to his other brothers, right now it's typifying, Joseph does exist. He's not dead. Although it seems like that Israel has got no power. I'm talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We've just got a little remnant that knows this. We pass this information. I've been in this for now over 20 years in the truth of it. And I've corresponded, I have written, I have preached, I have studied with the sons of Jacob. And this is a revelation to them. Once it's preached and they see the truth of it, a light comes on. The diamond stone shines into the darkness, and darkness will not comprehend it. The carnal mind or the flesh mind or the mind of Egypt, right there was the diamond. Joseph was hidden right in the midst of this Babylonian kingdom. He was second in command. He had the power to say go or to stay. Yahweh is being revealed today and at the appointed time at the crossing, 20 and 12, is the beginning of the great revolution promised to come, and with it will come the affliction of the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, that is because when the truth gets out, we've been lied to, the Christian church, who holds the bulk, if you will, of the house of Israel blinded. Here is these sons of Ephraim, purposely blinded by Yahweh. They sit in these bell box churches like I did, maybe like you have. And I'd like to speak this message tonight behind the stone walls of the prisons around America. If you're listening to me on your makeshift radios tonight, many of you written me and tell me that you do. It's amazing that you can receive our broadcast. Thank Yahweh. Learn while you're in a study. Pray. Seek it. Fast. Be like Daniel and the sons of Jacob, who were down in Babylonian captivity and would not bow the knee to Baal. Here we stand, defiant, as the remnant of Yahweh, which is holding the light, and there will always be a remnant before him. Yahweh knows them that are his. And at the right time, this diamond stone is going to grind the darkness out of the eyes of Jacob. It's going to give him a new vision. Instead of worshiping the Judah Jew, God's chosen people, they're going to remember who they were and who they are and who they will be, coming into the new kingdom to praise, to establish. And this is going to be under a great persecution coming up. The world, Babylonian kingdom, knows it's got a short time. Satan himself will orchestrate this great persecution in the last days against the kingdom of heaven. Hear me well. We are going to come under severe persecution, attacks. We'll be delivered up. We'll be delivered into prison. Any false charge to get rid of us, to sweep us under the spiritual rug. That time will forget us, but let me tell you, when it came time for Joseph to be revealed to the whole house of Israel, Yahweh brought it about. This stone will smite the whole earth because it itself will become a great mountain. That means there's going to be an increase. When people begin to call on Yahweh as the sons of light to battle against the sons of darkness, which have taken over and ruled all of these generations from the time of Daniel when he received the revelation of the king's dream, when he dreamed of the gold head. That was Nebuchadnezzar. The Medo-Persian, the Alexandrian, the great Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gone through these. We have survived. We're still in the hunt. There is still a remnant that knows him, that calls upon his name daily, that worships him in spirit and truth, that will not be defeated, that will not give up, that will not turn back. These are the sons of light. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I really feel it. The angel, Jacob said, that redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads, and let my name, Israel, be named upon them. That Ephraim and Manasseh, not Judah, not the Jews, let Ephraim be the firstborn. I will come through the stone shepherd rock. I will come through that seed line, through Ephraim the firstborn. I have chosen him, and I'll come through him. And let my name be called upon him. Joseph, Ephraim, Israel, the sons who came to the west. Yahweh instructed them to go to the west, go to the east, go to the north, and go to the south. And Israel became the lost sheep, scattered abroad for their disobedience, blinded. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. That's what Jacob said about Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, and the other tribes that were given a haven. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. But Jacob refused. And he said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also, talking about Manasseh, shall become a people. And he also shall be great. Great Britain. But truly his younger brother Ephraim, the United States, who became the last nation to expand and become the mightiest empire upon the earth, even today, under the rulership of those who are influencing it, calling themselves Jews. All the advisors of the president are those who say they're Jews and are not, but are liars. These are the Khazars. History has been covered up as to who they are. We have revealed it in past programs. And we're telling you tonight that Ephraim shall be greater and his seed shall become a multitude. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee, Joseph, shall Israel be blessed. saying, Yahweh make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. Now, why did Yahweh use the word Joseph instead of the word Ephraim? It was to give a clue to the exact location that this body used by the Messiah would be born. Can you catch that? Now, when we deal with this next Monday night on WWVR 5050 and the 2.390, I'll show you how that the Messiah was born into the world from the house of Joseph, from the seed of Joseph. And yet the world and the liars, the scribes, changed the truth of the situation by changing a few words. The New Testament became the most deceptive book ever written to throw the sons of light in their search for their Messiah. Throw them off the track. The Word tells us exactly where the body, the new body now, the stone shepherd, was going to come from. That this new Messiah would come from the blood of Joseph Ephraim, the perfect example. Joseph was famous for his wisdom, for his dream, his coat of many colors, his ability to interpret the word given by Yahweh in dreams and visions. He interpreted Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and become his right hand. Due to Joseph's given ability, the interpretation of the Pharaoh's dreams, and he saved the Egyptians from death, he became Pharaoh's first in command. And Pharaoh ruled the known world, and Joseph became the second most powerful man on the earth. Only the word of the Pharaoh was above Joseph. Now, that helps us to locate the birthplace of the new body that is being used by the Messiah, the little baby. Why was the reason that his brothers, who fathered the other 11 tribes of Israel, including his brother Judah, the progenitor of the Jews, and we'd gone told you that the first three off the bat were evil, and that Shua went down and sojourned with this evil half Judah, or Yehuda, the Jew, and half of it being the blood of Cain. Can you imagine that Israel dwelled among imitators? Oh yeah, they claim to be Abraham's children. Christ recognized them, and he rebuked them as Pharisees whose father was the devil. Yes, I admit that Judah was your father. But I'm going to tell you, you were born in fornication. They said, we're not born in fornication. And the Messiah responded, your father is the devil. You see, the father, the devil, was crafty. He placed this beautiful Canaanite, evil seducer, and Judah's eyes of wanton. He's already greedy. Love money, love riches, And it was an easy decision after he bared three sons, this third son, Yeshua, from Shua, whose name was Shelah, went and dwelled with the tribes of Israel in the land of Goshen for over 400 years. And in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, and the 37 and 38 verse, I want you to read that. It says that when Israel, it came time for Israel to be redeemed, that they came out. Now, there was a congregation, large congregation, that came out with them. Do you know who they were? Can you see the mystery hidden here? I know this is a far cry from the standard Pentecostal. I was in Pentecostal movement for 30 years. I know every trick in the book. It is one of the most deceiving, disgusting operations that's on earth. This dead church that shows signs and miracles. But they're dead. They have a name that they're alive, but they're dead. They introduced a false name in the New Testament to deceive and further enslave and blind. Oh man, how they ever blinded the house of Joseph. How we were ever taken in after 1500 years of secrecy, with the Bible being rewritten from the Old Covenant, where the great God of Joseph, Yahweh, when he was exited out of the Scriptures, and a new God, a Greek-Latin God, was put into the New Testament. And this has deceived. It's a punishment to come upon the house of Israel. It's a blindness. Blindness in part. Now, when I said part, there is a remnant of those who will see this truth and hold it up and preach it and declare it. Just a few. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate. And a few that will overcome the mark of this name. Now, we offer a tract of how this name evolved as a false name, whereat the Christians now accept it as the true name, has nothing in relationship to the real name, but they call on it, and they're enslaved in darkness, and they take the mark. The mark is a name. They worship this name. Their mind is filled with this name. The doctrine is Antichrist, is anti-Messiah. From the word go, Satan stole the birthright. And we have, as a punishment, the biggest portion of Jacob, Joseph, Israel, sitting in these bell boxes, supporting this evil doctrine because they're blind. But there's coming a day when the light when Joseph had this dream, when they sold Joseph into slavery, that's what's happened to us, the righteous seed of Joseph, Jacob, Israel. But it gave him time to dream about his brothers, the sheaves of corn, bound down to his sheaf of corn in the sheaf bill that is written in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. As a punishment for having sold Joseph into slavery in Egypt, his brothers' children went into slavery. That's the remnant that is in slavery right now in this last kingdom. Be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. He's still punishing the sons of Jacob, Israel. All of them. It rains on the just and the unjust, and even the sons of Ephraim. If you'll read the book of Hosea as a backdrop, you'll see why that they are chastised and most of them blind. Joseph was famous for the dream of the sheaf bill. What does it tell us tonight? Where the resurrected body of the firstborn of Shiloh, that means rest in place. Take heed that you fail not to enter into his resting place. He's called in Genesis 49:10, Shiloh, which was to be born out of the birthright tribe of Ephraim, Joseph. You ain't heard that preached, have you? Probably you've never heard it. May Yahweh bless the hearing of your ears. May he turn you from the darkness of deceit, where they're preaching that Jesus was a Jew. That's a lie. Number one, Jesus don't exist. He's a figment. He's an invention of the Catholic Church, the Fourth Kingdom. Part iron and part clay. You know what that means? They will mix their seed. Those that sit in the Vatican are nothing but Edomite Jews, so-called. The Khazars are those from Eastern Europe who adopted the Jewish religion in the 8th century, and now they're given through the Zionist movement. They are being forced upon the land of the ancient ones that still dwell where they've always dwelled. It was their land. Because Israel is not to return there. The fig tree was cursed. And it withered before the sons of Jacob's eyes. It brought no fruit. It was the symbol of the fig tree, the Jews, who claim to be Jews and are not. It's the symbol that America, Christendom, is worshiping. Ladies and gentlemen, the Antichrist, the 666, invented by the fig tree people, we're going to have trouble when people begin to learn this new message, when they leave the church and they'll come to these little meetings set in the countryside around America, around Great Britain, Scotland and Ireland and Germany. The real revolution will begin as they begin to come back to the great I Am. The true people of the house of Israel, they will say, they will call upon his name in the day of trouble. That time is coming. At that time shall Michael, the archangel, he will stand up for his people. He will hiss for the bumblebees, for the hailstone balls, for the grasshoppers. They're already gathering for the slaughter. The end time, fourth kingdom of deceit and destruction of lie and slavery to prevent Yahweh's people from taking the kingdom. But the Bible says the covenant will stand and the new kingdom will come into view. Oh, my. The new kingdom will come into view. That stone of stone, that relic, which represents the sons of Jacob, Israel, not Judah. Judah's got some problems. You need to look and see if really that the Jews are God's chosen people. You may change your mind after you hear the messages that there is to preach on it, and I could preach here for a solid year on this subject, and I have, wouldn't be told of how that we have been duped, how we've been blinded, how we've been denied the rightful throne for the kingdom until we all come into knowledge, until we cast aside these shackles of darkness and put on the armor of light and march with the power of the revelation. You see all this change coming across the earth? It just could be the beginning of the end of the fourth kingdom, the Gentile powers. Would you say with me, even so, come, Yahweh, bring down the fourth kingdom that is ruling on the earth with a rod of iron. We know that Satan will expose himself. He's coming. He's a real being. And he wants, if you will, he wants the kingdom. He will take it by force. He will sit for a short time upon the throne in Jerusalem, where he'll have these deceived people build him a temple. And he will sit there as God, Jesus Christ. Those who know the truth, and only a few will, unless we have a great revival, and unless darkness falls from their eyes, scales like it did from Paul or Saul, who was blinded on the way to Damascus. He finally had to go the straight street, repent of his sins, and get baptized in the mighty name of Yahweh, not the name of Jesus, not the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This is part of the deception that's held back the great revolution that is to come. You got my message tonight? I hope and trust that the coming years, the famines, the pestilence, the waves of the sea rolling, earthquakes, all this is the beginning of sorrow. But the end is not yet. For Satan must come down among us, and he will wear out the saints of the Most High, those who know him, those who will recognize him as the deceiver or the great Antichrist. When other people will be so deceived they'll kill you, thinking they're doing God a service. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in for some great shaking in the land. The rock that was hewed out of the mountain without hands. This kingdom is not made by man. It wasn't set up by man. It wasn't decreed by man. This will be a spiritual happening. Yahweh will put light where darkness was. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing a new song. Isaiah 42:10. sing unto Yahweh the new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea and all that therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, that darkness will not inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountain. Let them give glory unto Yahweh, the great I Am. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Revelations 15 and 3. Only the 144,000 redeemed in the first resurrection, they will rule and reign with Christ in heaven, while Satan is bound, and then after that, Satan must be loosed a little season. He's coming. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. This is a sequence that I'm teaching you tonight, and you're going to be surprised when you find out who you've been calling upon is the imposter, the counterfeit. The name that you rejected and wouldn't put in the Bible, you'll sing his name for sure in that day. You'll no longer say hallelujah. You'll say great is Yahweh, the great I Am. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can write me tonight. We've got a fundraising period going here, and we'd like to have your help. We need $10,000 to finish up the assembly. We need your help, $1 at a time. We'll take anything that you can give us, or you would like to offer to us. If I'm not preaching truth, don't send me one dime. If you believe that I give you the truth, although it's hard, hard on you, it calls for changes in your life. Woe unto the shepherd, the prophet, the preacher that fails to bring blood. I am wounding your heart. I'm teaching you things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. It's my job to remind you and to reveal to you the great name of the Creator. Join with us today in the righteous judgment. Send us an offering to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now, that'll be the great I Am. The great I Am is Yahweh. Take his name upon you and learn of him today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Send us a love offering. We need your help. We'd like to have a place where you could sit down if you plan to come. This coming Passover could be your last one, or it could be the last free one. You could keep one in a stockade. They've done got them built for you. And what you're going to be jailed for is something that you had never comprehended. The whole world lies in darkness. If you don't believe that, you just get out here and find the truth, and you'll see how much the world lies in darkness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of the truth coming in the last days, send your tithes and offerings. Write me a letter. I'd like to hear from you. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568. Now, that's 568. In Sweetwater, Tennessee, the zip being 37874. You can call me tonight, area code 423-351-1082. I'd like to talk to you tonight. Tell me you're going to send me an offering. I would be so delighted. My heart would rejoice. This tough truth, I'm going to begin a series on this. We're calling on everyone to hear it. We challenge those that don't believe it. If you'd like to call Pastor Buddy and talk about it, do so. Here's the white horse. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWCR. Prime time, 9 o'clock, Eastern Standard Time, on 4840. Tune in, I'll see you then. Yahweh bless you.
Who to free and who to blame? Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden letter